Okay, people, listen up. Here we go. My name is Ed Newcomer. This is the Nature's Secrets, or Nature's Secret Service, the podcast that puts you in the room with the men and women of wildlife law enforcement. It's another short bonus episode. I've got Special Agent Marie Palladini with me. Long 29-year career with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, now retired, a professor at California State University. But I wanted to have her back because there's so many stories that she and I share over our career. I worked for her and with her for quite a while. So thanks for being back.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. This is fun, Ed.
It is fun, isn't it? There's nothing better than having two law enforcement people in a room reminiscing, because the good stuff always comes out.
And we have some.
We have some. And yes. One of the best ones, I have talked about this before, but when I was trying to get hired to be a special agent with the Fish and Wildlife Service, a special agent in charge named Dave McMullen told me I needed to go to Los Angeles. I needed to put in to go to LA. And his main reason for that was, as he described you, there was this little tiny firecracker of an agent down in LA who's a lawyer who does the kind of cases that I wanted to do, the international trafficking cases. Her name's Marie Palladini. You got to go to LA and work with Marie. So it's true. You are small. How tall are you?
5'1". I'm sticking with that.
On a good day, yeah. Right? Okay. All right. When you first get up in the morning, you're 5'1". Yeah. So I always remember going into your office, or when we'd get together to do an arrest warrant or a search warrant, and I was so struck by how tiny your body armor was. You'd put on your bulletproof vest, said federal agent on it, and it was tiny. But one of the things that I'll never forget is that we had a fully staffed office. We would, at that time, when I was new, it felt like we were doing a search warrant or an arrest warrant every week. I mean, we were busy. And I felt 100% always confident working with you. I never had any question that you were just as capable as any other federal agent in the Fish and Wildlife Service. You know, you were a firecracker. And I want to tell this one story. We were doing a search warrant. And what happens in a search warrant is, you've got authority from a court to go into a house and you're going to do a complete search for contraband. Dangerous situation. So you've got your body armor on. You usually go in, you clear the house with your weapons, make sure nobody's hiding. Right. And then once that's done, you start the search. And typically we would have an agent or a state game warden or a local law enforcement out front as our outside security. And their job is nobody comes in while we're doing the warrant, right?
Yes.
So we're doing a warrant one night, I don't even remember where, somewhere in East LA. It's nighttime. I mean, it got dark by the time we were doing it. And we're searching the house. I'm in the garage, you're in the living room. We're all kind of spread out. And I hear this male voice, like very aggressive male voice, not on our team, right? So I come into the house from the garage, which was connected. And I look down a hallway and I see this huge dude standing in the doorway. Like, not a good guy. He's not on our team and he's mad. And he's screaming about his girlfriend. Do you remember this?
I do.
You're reminding me. He came in to like find his girlfriend. And I'm going to tell this story and then I'm just going to ask, like, Wow, what were you thinking? So we don't know how he got past our outside security, but I've got my gear on and I see he's being aggressive. I can hear his voice. He's being aggressive. So I start heading down the hall, and in my mind, I'm a martial artist. Mm-hmm. I was afraid of this dude. And I'm going down the hall thinking, how am I going to deal with this guy, right? How am I going to tackle this guy? How am I going to escort him out? And all of a sudden, in my field of view, you pop in to my field of view, and you're about half this guy's size, literally looking up at him, and you point at his chest, and a flurry of foul curse words come out of your mouth.
Whoops.
Hey, whoops. Among them being, if you don't effing get out of my crime scene, I'm going to take you to jail. And for a moment, I thought, oh my God, Marie's about to get killed. And that guy, he never saw me. I was headed down the hall. Mm-hmm. He never even noticed I was there. But before I could even get close enough to help you, he like completely surrendered. He collapsed. basically. You know, his posture changed, and he turned around. He didn't say a word. He turned around and walked away. I never forgot that. It impressed the hell out of me. And you kind of looked at me and laughed. Just like you're laughing now. Your little chuckle. Oh, you laughed and shrugged, and we went back to work. And we both were all like, what the hell happened to our outside security?
Where so is that guy?
How did you do that? You did that more than once. I saw you do that more than once in my career with you.
You know, you're great because you remind me of these things. And I usually don't remember them because they were just part of what I did over the years. But that particular one, I recall now that you've refreshed my memory on it. And I think what happens is, and I stress this a lot with people, and I tell my students as well, training is so important. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens is in certain situations, this is the best explanation I can give, is the training, whatever you want to call it, the training neurons or whatever they are, click. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I'm the federal agent. Mm-hmm. I'm not Marie Palladini Ed's friend. I'm the federal agent doing my job, and this guy's preventing me from doing it.
Right.
So the authority kicks in, and the training as well. I'm sure I probably was ready with my sidearm. I don't mm-hmm. know that, but I'm guessing how you get into the training mode. And this was a person that was going to maybe hurt us, but more importantly, hurt our operation too, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's where I was. And that's what kicks in. And I remember this because we all thought later, where did he come from? Right. I mean, how did he get in there? Right. And I do remember the girlfriend thing, and she was gone.
Yeah,
I
mean, she wasn't even there. Yeah.
And I don't know if he knew that, but we made it clear to him that, but I do know that for those few seconds, I just had to kick in, and I didn't think about it. It just happens. So when you say, what were you thinking? I don't know if there was an actual connection other than here's a threat and I need to respond.
Right.
Just like you would if somebody pulled a firearm on you or whatever you have to do, that part of that rote training and that rote memory comes into you from your subconscious.
Right.
So I think that's what happens when there's any sort of fear or challenge to the operation. And I attribute all of that to excellent training.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah.
Did you have any concept? Do you remember that all that? Did you think, well, I know there's a lot of other agents here that are on their way to help me, right? When you elevate your voice like that, every agent around you focuses on you, right? So you know that. But did it even dawn on you? Maybe Ed or Agent Trong or Agent Mendelson are coming?
I don't think it did immediately. Mm. But once I started, then I'm thinking, okay, where's the team? Coming.
Yeah.
So exactly. And I think that's true of all incidents like that in law enforcement.
Yeah.
You know you're on your own for that first part, but that's why you always have a team too. So I think if I had to reflect back on it, that's what I would say happens.
Yeah.
You start and then you know that you're going to get your support. And before every operation like that, you have a debrief, you have a briefing where you go through what's going to happen. And we all know they never go like they're supposed to.
Right.
So there's always some kind of glitch and you have to be ready for it. So I think that's it. But I really, through all those years as a special agent, could never have thanked the expertise of the training program for physical and for the legal side and the day-to-day routine things we did. I always felt we had the best training, and I attribute that to federal law enforcement. It's an excellent training academy.
100%. I agree. Yeah, it's just one of those stories. I just never forget. I tell a lot of people that story because it really, you know, you were the supervisor at the time, and, you know, it really set the example for the rest of us, gave us confidence in you. Yeah. I never hesitated to work with you in the field. I'd work with you tomorrow in the field, and no hesitation. So,
thanks, Ed. That's great. Well, I'd work with you. I mean, we all.
Who was your favorite agent? Who was your favorite agent? It was me, wasn't it?
Of course, it was Ed Newcomer. Yes. Aaron Dean that.
Oh, no. when you talk to Aaron, I'm sure it was Aaron
Dean. That's right.
Well, thanks for being back and for doing a short episode with us. I really appreciate it.
Actually, thank you so much. My pleasure.
All right. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Bye. Nature's Secret Service is written and produced by me, Ed Newcomer, and is co-produced by the DHTV team here at California State University, Dominguez Hills. Follow us on social media and connect with us online at naturessecretservice.com.